Tonight, with just 9 days until votes are counted, a new COVID-19 outbreak in the White House. At least five members of Vice President Pence's inner circle testing positive for the virus, including his chief of staff. The vice president moving ahead with a rally tonight. And as President Trump downplays COVID-19 on the campaign trail, his chief of staff saying, "We are not going to control the pandemic." The other major election headline, the record-breaking early voting across America. More than 58 million ballots already cast by mail and in person. Some lining up for hours, even in non-battleground states. What voters are telling us tonight, and a closer look at Pennsylvania, the state that could determine the outcome on election night. Also developing, the frightening new numbers as COVID cases climb. Back-to-back days with more than 80,000 new infections. The biggest 48-hour jump since the pandemic began. Residents in El Paso told to stay indoors as the virus takes hold. Fears the hospital system could collapse. And as hospitalizations rise, the death toll is following, with a new warning heading into the cold and dark winter months. The extreme fire risk, red flag warnings tonight across California as high winds move in. And the dramatic safety measure, PG&E cutting power to more than 360,000 customers. Seek and destroy, officials in Washington state finding the first known nest of the so-called murder hornet in the U.S. How they made that discovery using dental floss, the quick move to destroy it. And the new tropical storm threat we're tracking in the Caribbean, Zeta, could grow into a hurricane. Residents on the Gulf Coast keeping a close eye.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Tom Yamas. We begin tonight with just 9 days until votes are counted, with the coronavirus pandemic shattering case records across America and a new outbreak inside the White House. Vice President Mike Pence, you see him there holding a rally in North Carolina. At the same time, ABC News confirms at least five members of his inner circle have tested positive for COVID-19. Among them, Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, who has been by Pence's side on the trail. The campaign says Pence tested negative for the virus earlier today. President Trump, meantime, still downplaying the threat, insisting the battleground voters in New Hampshire, the nation is, quote, rounding the turn in the COVID fight. But it was a stark acknowledgement by his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who said, quote, "We are not going to control the pandemic," that drew a swift counterattack, with Joe Biden accusing the Trump administration of waving the white flag of defeat. And one thing is clear, Americans are voting. More than 58 million ballots have already been cast by mail and in person. ABC White House correspondent Rachel Scott leads us off tonight.
Tonight, Vice President Mike Pence is back out on the campaign trail, despite a COVID outbreak among his senior staff.
Mr. Vice President, why are you still traveling?
Wearing a mask, boarding Air Force Two for a rally in North Carolina.
Hello, North Carolina!
24 hours ago, his chief of staff, Mark Short, tested positive. He was by the vice president's side at several campaign stops in the past week, seen here at an Ohio rally Friday. A White House official says today the vice president and the second lady have both tested negative. And Pence's office says he will maintain his schedule in accordance with the CDC guidelines for essential personnel. Senator Kamala Harris, who suspended campaigning when a member of her staff tested positive, criticizing her opponent, who was also the head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force.
I think we have modeled the right and good behavior, and they should take our lead.
At least five people in the vice president's inner circle have now tested positive for the virus, including Short, Pence's body man, and political aide Marty Opes. He tested positive days ago. Sources tell ABC News the president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, wanted to keep this latest outbreak at the White House quiet. Today, when pressed, he cited privacy concerns.
Sharing personal information is not something that we should do.
With the nation reporting record coronavirus cases, the president today promising his supporters the pandemic will be over soon.
We're rounding the turn. Even without the vaccines, we're rounding the turn. It's going to be over.
But Meadows making this striking admission, the U.S. will not get the virus under control.
We're not going to control the pandemic. We are going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigation.
Why aren't we going to get control of the pandemic?
Because it is a contagious virus, just like the flu. Yeah,
All right, Rachel Scott joins us now live from Washington. Rachel, this new outbreak of cases could impact the confirmation of the president's Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, the vice president planning to be on the Hill for that Senate vote tomorrow.
Tom, the vice president said he would not miss that final confirmation vote for the world, but Democrats are urging him to stay away from Capitol Hill. They say after possibly being exposed to the virus that he could put their health at risk and set what they called a terrible example for the American people. No word, though, on whether or not Pence's plans are going to change. Tom?
Rachel Scott with that breaking news tonight from the campaign trail. Rachel, thank you. Now to the scenes we are witnessing across the country. Americans already casting ballots in record numbers. Take a look at this video here in New York City as early in-person voting began yesterday. Some waiting hours to perform that civic duty. That's in a state that's not even a battleground. And we've just learned that more votes have been cast this cycle with 9 days to go than all of the early vote in 2016. So what can we learn more from this surge? ABC's Stephanie Ramos is here in New York.
This weekend, early voting breaking voter turnout records across the country. More than 93,000 voters turned out to the polls on the first day of early voting here in New York City. Massive lines stretched for blocks with voters determined to make their ballot count, like this mother and her 18-year-old daughter who's voting for the first time.
I feel that it is our most fundamental right to vote.
Tremendous enthusiasm in a state that's not even up for grabs. When we met Chris Marin, he had been waiting in line for 3.5 hours.
Well, I'm in this, and I'm not going to walk out now. There was a lot of reasons, but the biggest thing right now is the coronavirus. We need leadership right now to get us out of this. It is worth the wait in line.
In one of the biggest battlegrounds on the map, Florida, former President Barack Obama blasting the Trump administration's handling of the pandemic.
Donald Trump isn't going to suddenly protect all of us. He can't even take the basic steps to protect himself.
And encouraging Americans to vote early, explaining how to vote by mail in this video.
That's all it takes, everybody. Make a plan, vote early.
President Trump casting his own ballot in Florida, in person, joining the more than 58 million Americans who have already voted. That's nearly 43% of the number of votes counted in 2016. And with just 9 days to go, President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden now zeroing in on a crucial state.
It may come down to Pennsylvania.
Nearly 1.5 million Pennsylvanians have already voted by mail. President Trump won the state by just 44,000 votes in 2016. Now, he's down by 6 percentage points, according to 538's polling average, trying to make up ground.
Hello, Erie. Remember that great victory we had all over?
Miguel Rivera is sticking with President Trump.
He's done a lot for the Hispanic and Black communities in terms of creating employment.
But some 2016 Trump voters telling our Martha Raddatz they're jumping ship.
Obama, Trump, and now?
Now Joe Biden. Yeah, I don't know how you can support him anymore.
Voices from voters tonight, and Stephanie Ramos is outside Madison Square Garden. New Yorkers waiting for hours to cast their ballots there this weekend, and this record number of early voting, state election officials cautioning it may take some time to count them all.
That's exactly right, Tom. In Pennsylvania, for example, voting early is proving to be more popular with Democrats than Republicans. The Secretary of State saying more than 1 million ballots that have been returned are from Democrats, nearly 300,000 from Republicans, but those won't be counted until Election Day. So it may be a while before we learn the results from that battleground state. Tom.
All eyes on Pennsylvania. All right, Stephanie, thank you. And of course, ABC News will have every step of the campaign covered with live coverage on election night with George, myself and our powerhouse political team starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on November 3rd, just 9 days away. Next tonight, to those alarming new COVID numbers, the biggest two-day case surge in the U.S. since the pandemic began. More than 167,000 new cases in just 48 hours. In hard-hit El Paso, Texas, hospitalizations surging in the last 2 weeks with overflow tents. You see them here, built as hospitals are pushed to the brink. And across the country, COVID fatalities on the rise again, with the death toll here now surpassing 225,000 lives lost. Scientists warn it is a critical point in the fight. And ABC's Trevor Ault is in New York.
Tonight, America entering a dangerous new phase in the pandemic. The most infections we've ever seen. New cases soaring above 83,000 each of the past 2 days.
We're at a dangerous tipping point right now. We're entering what's going to be the steep slope of the curve.
This week, 20 states and Puerto Rico setting new record highs for daily cases. 16 states hitting record hospitalizations. And new deaths climbing 17% over the past week, now topping 225,000 American lives lost. Alice Roberts lost her husband, Rob, a New Jersey police officer, to COVID. On Friday, New Jersey saw their highest case count since Rob passed away.
You hear these numbers in the news and they don't sound very real, but it's very real and it's increasing. And it's not going to get better before it gets worse.
Hospitalizations in El Paso tripling over the last 2 weeks. Medical workers now converting a convention center and setting up outdoor overflow tents to meet the exploding demand.
We need to stay home and go out only for essential activities.
Rural areas battle some of the worst outbreaks. Dr. Deborah Birx warning of consistent and unrelenting community spread.
It's among all of you, and you can't see it, and you can't know it is there.
Images like these alarming officials. Ohio State students packed together without masks as Big Ten football returns, as tonight so many families are grieving. In North Carolina, second grader Yoshi Morales, taken by the virus at just 8 years old, her family and school releasing balloons and planting a tree in her memory.
That tree is going to symbolize growth. It's like if Yoshi was here, seeing her classmates every day.
And Tom, New York is now just a week into its microcluster containment strategy, where they institute restrictions at a neighborhood level only. And Governor Cuomo says so far that strategy is working, that all the hotspot neighborhoods they've identified, the positivity rates are dropping. Tom?
A block-by-block strategy. All right, Trevor, thank you for that. Now to the extreme fire risk in the West. High winds settling in across California tonight that have fire officials so concerned that Pacific Gas and Electric has protectively shut off power to hundreds of thousands of customers. ABC's Will Carr is in San Mateo tonight.
Tonight, California is on high alert. The state is facing the highest fire risk this year, with powerful winds up to 70 miles per hour.
Any open flame under these conditions, under these winds, is going to grow very rapidly.
Firefighters are standing by in the hills of Oakland, ready to respond. The entire Bay Area and Los Angeles all under red flag warnings tonight. Officials cutting electricity to an estimated 1 million people, fearing high winds could topple trees and power lines. In Colorado, a major snowstorm is bringing some relief to firefighters battling record-breaking fires.
More the better. They're calling for, what, anywhere from 6 to 10 inches.
These troublesome fires scorching more than 190,000 acres, and it's only 10% contained. Mike Dara shot this dramatic video of flames engulfing his neighborhood.
It was just swirling sparks across the street, was already on fire.
Here in California, we're facing the threat of fires through Tuesday. And keep in mind, this has already been a historic fire season. More than 4 million acres have burned, and we still have a ways to go, Tom.
Okay, Will, thank you for that. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano now. Rob, give us the latest now out west.
Well, Tom, the snow in Colorado helping the fires there, but it's that cold air that's going to be driving dangerous winds into California beginning tonight. High wind and red flag warnings smothering the West right now. Matter of fact, critical fire conditions are expected for Las Vegas, Northern California tomorrow, and into Southern California on Tuesday. This will be the strongest wind event so far this year. Fire spread could be extreme. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Zeta strengthening as it heads toward Cancun, likely to be another hurricane hit for the Yucatan, then driving into the Gulf, targeting the already battered North Coast. A strike possible again for New Orleans and impacts well east into the Florida Panhandle. We expect landfall for the U.S. on Wednesday. Tom?
Such an active hurricane season. Rob, will keep our eye on that storm. Next tonight, a closer look at the power of the Latino vote, already the largest non-white electorate and growing. They will help decide some key swing states, but what are the issues that are driving them? Here's ABC's John Quinones.
Renato Ramirez is living his American dream in Texas, running the ranch his parents bought in 1940, the year he was born. Ramirez is one of 32 million Latinos eligible to vote in the upcoming election, the largest non-white electorate.
Most of us have the same common goal. We all want to educate our children. We all want them to have a good economic life.
He's not alone. 80% of Hispanic voters say the economy is their top priority in the 2020 election, followed closely by healthcare.
The economy and worker rights is a very important issue.
Healthcare is really important to me.
The old neighborhood. I love this
place.
Welcome
back.
Back in my hometown of San Antonio, I sat down with the most visible Latino face on the campaign trail this year, Julian Castro.
The issues that matter to the Hispanic community are the issues that matter to all Americans, right?
Castro was the only Latino to run for president in 2020. By the next presidential election, the number of Latinos in Texas is expected to surpass the white population.
Do you think Texas is a swing state now? Yeah, we are a swing state. You know, the last 10 to 12 polls showed the presidential race here basically tied. Yeah. And if we can win here, then it's game over for the Republicans. And the Latino vote is going to play a huge role.
Turnout among Latino voters is expected to increase by 15% in the upcoming election.
Who will you be voting for in November?
I already voted. I voted for Mr. Trump.
Why Trump?
The economy. Bottom line.
All right, John Quiñones reporting for us there. We thank John for that report. And a programming note, join me, John, and Cecilia Vega, along with our team reporting on this crucial voting group, America's Future, The Power of the Latino Vote, premiering Tuesday at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. streaming on ABC News Live. And there's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. Tragedy striking in New York City. A visiting college student hit by a stray bullet while outside his Airbnb. The latest on the search for his killer. And next, the murder hornet nest destroyed. The incredible way experts followed a hornet that led them right to it. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with an update on the so-called murder hornets, the invasive species that could be deadly to humans and bees. And tonight, news of the first known nest in the U.S. Here's ABC's Zorin Shah.
Tonight in Washington state, this Asian giant hornet nest trapped down and cleared out. About the size of a basketball, the first known nest of its kind in the U.S., discovered inside a tree north of Seattle.
I took a step back and realized we were actually standing right under the nest. We had, in fact, tracked her straight back to where she came from.
The discovery was weeks in the making. Entomologists using dental floss to attach an electronic tag to a so-called murder hornet that led them back to the nest, which they sealed off, then vacuuming out over 100 hornets. First found in the U.S. only several months ago, the giant hornets, native to Asia. They can be deadly to humans, killing up to 50 people in Japan each year, and a massive threat to honeybees. They kill them by decapitation.
Only a few Asian giant hornets can take out 30,000 healthy honeybees in just a matter of a few hours.
We are not in the clear yet. Entomologists saying there is still a very good chance there could be more nests. Beekeepers hoping that's not the case. Tom.
Time now for the index and the search for a suspect in the fatal shooting of a college student visiting New York City. Police say 20-year-old Ethan Williams was hit with a stray bullet while outside his Airbnb in Brooklyn. The family of the Indiana University student saying he was on his, quote, dream trip to New York to film a documentary. And Pope Francis naming 13 new cardinals during a prayer service overlooking St. Peter's Square. Among them, Wilton Gregory, the 72-year-old Archbishop of Washington, D.C., who becomes the first African-American elevated to that rank. Gregory notably led the church's internal response to the sex abuse scandal of the early 2000s. Finally tonight, America Strong. The California firefighter on the front lines of those devastating wildfires, pulling off the ultimate surprise for his daughter. 10-year-old Eliana Padron says her dad, Josh, is her hero.
The job's super risky. He's my best friend. I always tell him that I want to be a firefighter when I grow up, too.
So when the San Jose fire engineer had to be deployed to help on the front lines of California's complex fires last month, Eliana could not wait for his return.
I told my mom that I really missed him.
27 days I was gone, so it impacted, you know, tremendously on her and my wife.
So when Josh knew his deployment was ending,
I called my wife and said, guess what, I'm coming home.
But he knew he wanted to save the biggest surprise for Eliana.
So the plan was to let my wife know that I arrived.
And here's that moment.
When I saw my dad, I was so surprised.
Hi, mamas!
Father and daughter reunited.
How are you? I missed you.
It was happy tears because I just felt like my dad is finally home.
Today, Eliana and her dad back together having some fall fun.
One of the things that we talked about while I would check in on her every day was, can we go to the pumpkin patch?
After that surprise of a lifetime.
Seeing her reaction and then the emotions, embracing that hug with her and happiness, and still, it still chokes me up. You okay?
Glad they're back together. Stay safe. Good night.